It's That Man Again, and you can of course get the rest of Callan's Kicks and enjoy that one more time this evening at 6:30 on RTE Radio 1. Now, to discuss the issues of the week, I'm joined by Martina Devlin, author and Irish Independent columnist, by Fia Kelly from the Irish Times, Sinn Féin TD Páraic McLoughlin, and Fine Gael TD Eoghan Murphy. You're all very welcome. Speaking of Irish water, Fia Kelly, have things calmed down? We know there was the meeting between the Minister and the Chief Executive during the week, and there are indications now that there'll be a flat fee for what, 2 years?
Yeah, they seem to have kind of calmed the issue down somewhat in the latter half this week. If you're a betting man looking at the Sunday papers last weekend, you would have thought that John Tierney mightn't see out the week in his position. The government kind of scaled back from that. The Taoiseach expressed confidence in him. But the wider issue of the disquiet over the charges, they seem to have addressed it at a meeting of, I think it was the Economic Management Council today. They're now moving to what looks like a fixed rate of the assessed rate, which is an estimated usage per adult, and possibly addressing the complaint that some people who have adult children living in the house, if you have someone from college or training, that's going to be addressed. So I think there was an acknowledgement that after the budget, this was the one outstanding political issue that was causing a huge headache for the government, and they wanted to move quickly on it. We're told there'll be a comprehensive package announced in the coming weeks, but I think this really is the government's last throw of the dice on Irish water and water charges. They have to get this one right because it is a huge headache for them. This is their last chance to explain to the public and sell it properly, because it's caused them an awful lot of discomfort up to now.
Have things calmed down in your own party, Eoghan Murphy?
I think so. We had a long parliamentary party meeting on Wednesday night to discuss a number of issues around Irish water. I mean, we've been discussing Irish water since the beginning of the year and raising different questions around it. I mean, I think it's important to recognise, I think, that the government has probably perhaps moved to do too much too quickly with Irish water. So in both trying to roll out a metering programme for the entire country, but also communicate with people coming into this new utility through this new company for the first time, it's been a bit too much of an ambitious programme. And I think if we are talking now, as we seem to be, about a capped charge for the next couple of years, I think that's the smart thing to do, to allow Irish Water to get its job done in installing the meters, to let people get used to this idea of a water utility charge, and to allow Irish Water to get its own house
in order.
Yeah,
but I'm just looking at your Labour colleague in the Irish Times today from Galway, Derek Nolan, saying that, "I cannot genuinely tell people their anger is misplaced because this has been handled appallingly from day one." Essentially, the point seems to be, no matter what we do, the people are just furious and we're fighting a losing battle.
Well, it has been handled poorly, I suppose, from the moment the legislation was brought through the House and it was guillotined and we weren't allowed to have a proper debate on it. People were raising issues about what was being done in setting up this new utility. But, you know, people have been paying for Irish water for years through general taxation. We're now trying to shift that and make it a separate charge to a new utility company. That's a difficult thing to do. People aren't necessarily going to be happy about that. And unfortunately, in the mistakes that have been made, it's undermined people's confidence in that organisation. So the responsibility of the government is now to make sure that people can have confidence in that. And the capped charge is one way to do that, because it gives Irish Water time to get its house in order.
Páraic McLoughlin, is it going to change things if there is a capped charge for maybe 2 years?
I just really think that the government parties are completely missing the point. I mean, the resistance to this is the principle of paying for water. People feel that they have paid for it through general taxation for years, that it's a natural resource. I mean, we build an agriculture industry on our climate here in Ireland. And I don't know if they realise just the intensity of it. Like, I've attended a good few meetings back in Donegal. I've talked to colleagues all over the country. The feedback is there. There was almost, 100,000 people on the streets. That is the core issue. And, you know, people have, you know, we've been hit with all the extra charges, the family home tax, the universal social charge. And I have to say, I didn't anticipate the scale of the anger on this issue myself. I thought that there might have been some initial, you know, resistance, and it's across all social strata. You know, the people who can pay on principle are saying we just are not sending back the packs, and you can see that. You know, huge numbers of families have not returned the packs. They're obviously going to extend the deadline now for another month at least, and I just don't see if the government's don't sometime soon wake up and smell the coffee, this is going to be the issue.
And
it's going
what?
To drag you down
what
over the next... Well, look, Sinn Féin have given them, you know, costed alternatives within the budget. You see, the government have choices, you know, around taxation, about things that you do. And what they've chose to do is pursue this matter. And there's also the fear of an agenda, eventually, as has been the case in other jurisdictions, to privatise water. And that's a big fear out there.
That's an important fear to address, sorry, because the privatisation issue, it's in the legislation, Páraic, you've seen it. It's impossible. There are three shareholders, and under the law, law, they cannot sell those shares. Mm. It's the Minister for Finance, the office, not the person. And it's Bord Gáis.
Martina Devlin, is it the case, though, that ultimately, if for this tax to be successfully collected, it'll have to be handed over to the Revenue Commissioners?
Well, it seems to be the case, absolutely. John Tierney isn't the man to run Irish Water. I was fascinated this week to hear him speak for the first time in public about it. What did he say? The first words he uttered were about his staff, not about the customer. That shows the focus is in the wrong place. He talked about Irish Water, not about the customers.
Well, he was doorstepped going across. I mean, well, there was a forest of microphones waiting for him when he came out of
the first thing we heard him talk about. He didn't mention customers at all. And it shows why you really need someone with a commercial bent to run something like this, not a public servant.
I was holding one of those microphones under his nose the time. It was quite rushed. And he said, like, why, we have to be more customer focused. We have to address the issues that customers have had with us. But I think I heard a number of TDs grumbling after that. That was the first snatch we've seen of John Tierney since it's before the committees at the start of the year, and they felt it was a bit rushed, looked like he was running away from people. But maybe that's because there were protesters outside. But I think John Tierney is expected now to come out in front for the company more, and perhaps maybe take a more gentler tone, kind of be less haughty, maybe, if that's the word to use, less kind of talking down to people.
Well, maybe less remote might be a better way to put it.
There's another issue, and Owen, you mentioned about how if we had fixed charges for 2 years, there'd be certainty, and that was a good way forward. And I think, on the contrary, this is also supposed to be about water conservation. And if we're paying fixed charges, there's no incentive to conserve water and to try and bring your bill down.
That's absolutely right, for the period of 2 years. But if we can get all the meters in within that period by mid-2016, then from that point on, something we've never had in this country is the ability to actually conserve water. What I have a problem with is people who have the water meters in place paying more for their water than someone on the fixed charge, even though they're conserving. And I think that needs to be addressed, and having in the cap for a 2 year period, if that is to come, would be a good way to do that. And then from there, we as a country move to conserve water. Yeah. As for the principle of paying for water, though, because Porter was talking about that, people pay for water in group water schemes. People pay for water in Northern Ireland. I mean, I think it's a little bit disingenuous.
There's no water charges in Northern Ireland.
You put it on top of the property charge in Northern Ireland, it's going to be separated out soon. There wasn't enough money for the North. You had to get another further 100 million from the UK.
Control over taxation.
Speaking of Northern Ireland, Martina Devlin, Maria Cahill has been the name which has dominated the news in the last 10 days. Somebody from whom or about whom very little was known or heard prior to her appearance on that BBC Spotlight programme. It has put particularly the Sinn Féin president, Gerry Adams, very much on the back foot. He accepts that she was abused, but he denies that he had any direct discussions with her. And he has admitted that the way the situation was handled by the Republican movement at that time left a lot to be desired. Now, what more should Sinn Féin be doing in that situation?
Well, Sinn Féin is now going on the attack, really, and it's shooting the messenger. And I find it very odd that Sinn Féin is now saying this is a media attack on us, and that they have no questions to answer. They're using it as deflection. I find it a very odd way to deal with the issue of how child sex abuse or any kind of sex abuse was dealt with within Sinn Féin. It's this inability to admit that there was ever anything done wrong. And I think that that raises real problems for the party. It raises problems in terms of its credibility as a viable political party. I mean, loyalty is a wonderful attribute, but loyalty uber alles is troublesome.
Yes, but again, in his long blog issued last Sunday, Gerry Adams accepted that the way the situation or these complaints about abuse or rape were dealt with left a great deal to be desired, and victims did not get proper treatment. And he accepts that, in some instances, people were shot as a result of what was done. But that was the IRA's response to communities' complaints that were made to them.
The problem for Sinn Féin is that it can't position itself as a party which speaks up for the vulnerable when it comes to welfare cuts if it doesn't stand up for the vulnerable in sexual abuse cases.
What do you think of it, Fiacca Kelly?
I think it's been an extraordinary week. I think that Pádraig has, even outside, has said, questioned the role of the media and that taking Maria Cahill's allegations at face value too much. But I think the politics of it have been extraordinary. I think Martina wrote a very good piece in The Independent this week where she said that the damage to Sinn Féin is not to Gerry Adams, it is probably to Mary Lou MacDonald. And interestingly, we haven't really seen Mary Lou in the last 2 days because women are looking at this and going, like, this is a really damaging issue. Mary Lou is the most prominent woman in Irish politics, and this is incredibly damaging to her. And the Taoiseach's performance, the exchange between the Taoiseach and Gerry Adams in the chamber this week, it was extraordinary. The tension in the chamber to see basically leaders' questions, which is questions to the leader of government, turned into questions to a leader of the opposition. And to be fair to Gerry Adams, some of the things that were said were picked up by the Taoiseach wrong and thrown back across the chamber at him. But that's politics. But
isn't that the whole point, Owen Murphy, that it has been politicised above all by the Taoiseach of this country? A tragic situation in which this young woman found herself, and it's a perfect tool with which to beat the leader of Sinn Féin.
No, I don't think that's the approach from the Taoiseach at all. In Leaders' Questions, it was raised by Micheál Martin, and it was raised as well by Gerry Adams.
But he's at the same thing, Micheál
Martin. No, but Gerry Adams raised it as well and said he wanted to raise it in the Dáil too later that day. So this was going to be discussed in Dáil Éireann, and it's appropriate because the allegations are serious. This is a brave person, and what she's alleging has happened to her is a terrible thing. But there is now a political dimension to this, because the story from Sinn Féin, I think, has been changing slightly. And I think it is worrying from as a young member of Parliament myself, who's constantly asking questions of my own leadership. I'm not hearing any questions being asked from the Sinn Féin Parliamentary Party. Have they asked questions? What do they know? What are they happy to stand over? And that's a worrying thing to see in a parliament, which is meant to be about asking questions all the time.
Ostensibly, Pádraig McLoughlin, Mary Lou McDonald was not in the chamber yesterday for Leaders' Questions, that usual Thursday exchange that she would have with Joan Burton, because she was at the Public Accounts Committee. But that the Public Accounts Committee is always held on a Thursday, and yet Mary Lou is generally in the chamber. So did she go hiding yesterday?
Mary Lou McDonald was the second questioner yesterday, dealing with the paediatric hospital. You know, it's a hugely important issue in this state. She isn't always the second questioner. Often she's well down the list. I can tell you that whenever we were dealing with, for example, the issues of the whistleblowers earlier in the year, I took leaders' questions a number of occasions because Mary Lou McDonald was covering the Public Accounts Committee and was one of the most, you know, first or second questioner. So that's the reason why it's a nonsense story.
But to borrow a phrase from a long time ago, uno duce, una voce seems to be the Sinn Féin approach.
I'm going to say this. When the annals of history are written about this period that we're in right now, the question marks will not be so much for Sinn Féin as Gerry Adams as it is for Irish journalism. Because we've reached a point where a whole cacophony of journalists have decided that somebody is entirely, you know, believable and entirely true in everything they say, and other people are not. And you see, there is a process of law in the north of Ireland. There are courts. With all due respect, me, nor you, nor any of the panellists, nor anybody out there except for the judiciary, the people who are given that right, have any rights to judge these matters. Are we at a stage now?
Yeah, you're basically saying because that case collapsed for reasons that really didn't have to do with the credibility of Maria Cahill, that somehow, you know, no questions should be asked. That's it. Case closed.
I'd say this is that when somebody comes forward and makes allegations in any sphere of life, there is due process. It goes through the courts.
Do you believe she was raped?
It was subject. I believe.
Do you believe she was raped?
I'll tell you what I believe.
I'd love to know.
Can you give me 2 minutes to answer the question?
Please.
And then I have a few questions for you after that. You won't be laughing in a minute when I have your questions. Okay. Now, in terms of Maria Cahill, this is what I believe. I believe that she was a victim of abuse. And I believe that she was traumatised. I believe she was a victim of abuse, and
do you
that she was traumatised.
She was raped?
I believe that she was raped. Yes, yes, because she
took
was 16.
Long enough.
Yes,
it took long enough.
So can I just say this? Martina Devlin has written an article saying that Sinn Féin has no credibility in women's issues moving forward. Gemma O'Doherty, a journalist in the Irish Independent, an award-winning journalist, alleges that she was sacked for pursuing people in power. She alleges that she was bullied and harassed out of her position.
That may be very valid.
You know, this is important. The NUJ spoke in her support. Not a word from Martina Devlin. Not a word from her about that issue. Not a word from Martina Devlin about that issue.
No, but you're introducing an entirely different case.
Martina Devlin talks about standing up for women's rights and feminism. She hadn't a word to say about that issue, yet the NUJ spoke out about it. So I don't take lectures from Martina Devlin.
We're not discussing a separate case. Now, if you want to say something about that briefly by way of response,
I'd be interested to hear what she has to say. I haven't heard a word from her about it.
So you're trying to change the subject.
No.
That's exactly what you're doing.
Martina Devlin lectured
women in Sinn Féin about their credentials in terms of feminism and women's rights, yet she hadn't a word to say when Gemma O'Doherty alleged that she was fired from her position from asking questions of people in power.
Can I just ask a question, just pick you up on what you're saying with Tamita. Sean said una voce. What you're saying is the exact same thing that Pádraig Tobin said in Morning Ireland yesterday, so it must be something that you've all...
Are you qualified to judge anybody?
Well, who are you
given
to stand
that right
judge and jury over the free
were you
press?
Given that right by the people of Ireland to judge anybody?
I'll tell you what, you're a member of the Justice Committee, aren't you?
Yeah, I am indeed.
Yeah, exactly. And do you remember the whistleblower allegations this year?
Yeah.
When you wanted them in and you wanted
They provided evidence.
Stop.
They provided documentary evidence of what they were alleging.
Excuse me, Pork. Morris McCabe was subsequently vindicated, but what he was saying then were allegations, and you wanted them in, and your deputy leader, Mary Lou MacDonald, had them into the Public Accounts Committee. They were allegations at that time, and she wanted the entire transcript published in public out there completely. They were overruled. So how is that different from what you're saying? Is it worth treating allegations?
You talk about red herrings.
I didn't talk about red
John
herrings.
John Wilson and Maurice McCabe provided documentary evidence, reams of it.
You're changing
They provided reams of documentary evidence to the documentary evidence. Can I just say, you're not qualified, Fiek, with all due respect. No, I don't claim to be qualified. That's a difference. I don't claim to be qualified to judge any allegations of that matter. I don't claim that.
But what I'm saying to you is, journalism doesn't suit you now.
Journalism's job is to be balanced and to fully investigate all the allegations, to talk to both sides of the equation. A court of law in the North has dealt with these matters. Yes, because the person making the allegations withdrew the allegations. Now, there is a referral to the police ombudsman, and there's an independent review of all of that. Let that take its course. But with all due respect to everybody in this panel and all the journalists who've declared, for whatever reason, that they absolutely believe and then absolutely don't believe somebody else.
In Sinn Féin parliamentary party, why do we never hear of a dissident? Why is it that everybody always seems to believe everything Gerry Adams says?
Well,
whether it's about this case or whether it's about his previous activities, whether it's about the McConville case, whether it's about his non-membership of the IRA.
Well, I can tell you, I don't tend to go out there and, you know, like other parties do. People run off to journalists with stories and, you know, they're hoping maybe they'll get a story themselves at some stage. I have had many disagreements with Gerry Adams face to face over the years about a range of matters.
Has there been any disagreement or serious interrogation of him in the last 10 days about this case?
Well, listen, I'll tell you this. I can't judge in all these matters, as I've said, but I've known Gerry Adams since I was a young lad, right? I remember being in a room in Belfast during the height of the McCartney sisters, where their brother was murdered and they were challenging the Republican movement, as was their right at that time. And I remember being in a room in Belfast among Sinn Féin members, and a number of people were expressing concerns, and Gerry Adams stood up and he said that this is what we taught people to do. We taught people to empower themselves, to stand up for their rights.
I heard you tell that story in Morning Ireland the other morning, but what I'd like to know is, what good did it do? Who went to the RUC or the PS and I with information about the murder of Robert McCartney in a pub full of Republicans or outside one? It didn't actually go anywhere.
Listen, there were tens of thousands of men and women in the IRA in the period from the late 60s to the mid 90s. Amongst those numbers were clearly people who were abusers, people who were thugs, people who were bad people, as would be the case in any organisation of that size. So I am not here today to romanticise the IRA, to say that
you cited the example of the Robert McCartney murder as one where Adams showed leadership. But, you know, where did it lead?
Well, there was a call for people with information at that time to go, you know, to the authorities at a time when policing wasn't resolved. Well, what I can say is...
Who's doing time for that?
Well, what I'd say is that the sisters at that time, in fairness to them, had every right to confront and ask the hard questions. And that was right and proper. But what's different in this case is a range of journalists have decided to abandon any degree of balance and make a judgment on this matter without any evidence.
You're on the show, aren't you? The show is balanced.
This is a real issue for Irish journalism.
I'm just curious. Have you asked Gerry Adams the hard questions on this?
I have asked Gerry Adams
in the parliamentary party.
And colleagues of mine have spoke to other Sinn Féin members. Because remember, there's a range of Sinn Féin members. And let me just say this, right? I know a number of them. I know Gerry Adams, obviously, and a number of the others. And I do not believe that they would have done anything other than to try and assist Maria Gallagher. That's my view. I am not qualified, or nor is anybody here, to decide the rights and wrongs. That is a due process. And what we've decided is to abandon due process,
Is Gerry Adams held to a different standard than other political leaders in Ireland? Wouldn't answer the questions that were put to him by the Taoiseach.
No, Gerry Adams has
and that
to,
wouldn't be acceptable Gerry for any Adams other political
stand,
leader,
Adams
or
has
in Fine Gael, or
Gerry
my own
Adams
parliamentary
has to
party.
Stand for election every year as president of Sinn Féin. Gerry Adams has to stand for election in Louth.
He needs to answer questions
Here's the thing, and I accept there's a bit of an imbalance. Effectively, it's you versus three other people, and I'm putting questions to you as well. But one thing, you've accepted now that Maria Cahill was raped. You accept that she's telling the truth about that and about the abuse in whatever form it took. But you're basically, the Sinn Féin position seems to be she's telling the truth about the abuse and the rape, but she's telling lies about what happened between herself and Gerry Adams when they had a conversation.
No, Sean, be very clear. Everybody in this room has a view, okay? I have a view. And my opinion, based on speaking to and hearing from some of my Sinn Féin colleagues, is they believe that she was abused, raped, and traumatised. And she was failed, right? That's very, very clear.
But when she says she spoke about those events in great detail with Gerry Adams, that she's not telling the truth.
Well, I have to say, the words that have been attributed to Gerry Adams,
that's a particular thing about his response, but the actual discussion about her having discussed the detail of what happened with him. Yeah. Leave aside his reaction. There's a flat denial from Gerry Adams about that it was any discussion, but that somehow he heard about it indirectly and then went to her uncle Joe Cahill.
Here's the difficulty, Sean, right? There are journalists that have decided that Gerry Adams isn't telling the truth, and I'm going to say to you that I believe Gerry Adams could. I genuinely do. But the difficulty is, where are we at here in terms of the process of justice? Because all of these things have to be dealt with by the appropriate authorities. That's in Garda Síochána, the PSNI. They have to go before a court. A person has to be cross-examined. A person has to be cross-examined on the allegations that they made, which are extremely serious, extremely serious. That is the usual process of law. And all of that has been abandoned over the last period.
Yeah, for instance, we're out of time practically, but BBC Spotlight programme invited Maria's interrogators from the, call it a kangaroo court, call it what you will, onto the programme, but they refused. They did just say, look, they disagreed with her testimony, but maybe if they did go on the programme,
I read with interest the statement from their solicitor, Peter Madden from Madden Finucane, and the point, I would invite everybody to read that statement and to form a view after that.
Okay, we will leave it there. Pádraig McLoughlin, Sinn Féin TD, Owen Murphy, Fine Gael TD, Martina Davlin, author, Fiacchelli, political correspondent, thank you all for being with us.